أطواري حرف سماء السماءات ولا أرض أرضاء الصلاة والسلام والتحية والبشرى على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وأدي الفرج
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين ارتضى الله عنهم الحجز وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على رسول الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم discussing around this hadith of the Prophet regarding the fact that the Salik in Allah, someone who is traveling on the path of the purification of the soul, Suluk, Sayyid of Suluk in Allah, has eight segments of his Safar. Just like the physical travel has its eight segments. And we discussed those eight segments of every travel, and the spiritual travel is no different. It requires an origin and requires a destination, the mabda and the muntaha, and requires a masafat, and this is the distance, and the masir, which means the path that has to be traveled, and the zad, the necessary items for our survival during the trip, and the rahila means the means of transportation, and the rafiq means the companion and the guide who guides us to the destination. And our discussion has reached the masafat, the distance that has to be traveled, and we mentioned that وَإِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Our scholars have mentioned that the sifat and kamalat, the attributes and the spiritual perfections which a human is required to gain during this trip is an assignment that we do gradually, that we reach in a gradual process, unless and until we are done with the previous spiritual attributes and achieving the previous milestone, we will never be able to achieve the next milestone. But there's no way a person can skip, there's no way we can jump to the next stage unless and until we are done with the previous stage. And the example that our Urafa mentioned for this spiritual travel is what I gave you in the previous lesson. It's just like a flashlight. If a person is walking, in the dark area with a flashlight, so you have to move forward. You have to leave your previous spot, move forward, take a step forward, so that the next step becomes lit up, visible, and enlightened with the flesh light. Unless you take a step and move forward, you will never find what is lying next ahead of you, and you will never discover those spiritual levels unless you are done by crossing the previous levels. So this is a gradual process of how it takes place. So that's where the role of Islam and Iman comes in. So when we are talking about the Kamalat and spiritual perfections and Sifat and attributes of the soul that we need to develop and convert those Sifat and attributes into the Malaka, permanent and charisma and a constant attribute of the soul which can enter along with our soul into the grave, a permanent attribute deep rooted in the soul. This has to do with Islam and Iman, the concept is getting clear. So Islam is something which is through the lisan. That means we do iqrar, and we confess, we accept the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, and He is the only Lord. We believe in His Tawheed, we accept His Tawheed, we express the belief in His Tawheed orally, and we express our obedience towards His Ubudiyyat, His commands, and our obedience as a slave towards all of His commands. So believing in the Prophet and believing in the seed of the Prophet, our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And believing in the Daruriyat al-Deen, the self-evident necessary beliefs of Islam, that's all what it takes for a person to be called a Muslim. A person is a Muslim who believes in Tawheed, Wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes that we are the Abd and he is the Ma'bud. You know, he is not born to any parents, nor does he give birth to any child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all those sifat, you know, sifat al-jalal and jamal, and his sifat are ayn al-taq. And Allah has sent down those prophets, 124,000, for our guidance, and the seed of the prophet is our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we have to believe in all the necessary, self-evident rulings of Islam. This is the technical definition of a Muslim person. You know, a comprehensive definition of a Muslim person. So, if you pay attention to what Imam Ali Islam has said, that's mentioned in Al-Kafi, لَأَنْسِبَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ نِسْبَةً لَا يَنْسِبُهُ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي وَلَا يَنْسِبُهُ أَحَدٌ بَعْدِي إِلَّا بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. You already heard that hadith. Imam Ali al-Islam has said that I am going to define Islam. No one else can define before me or after me, except if he defines in the way that I do. So basically what we learn in the light of the hadith, that this is the best definition of Islam. Islam can never be defined in a better definition. No one before or after Imam Ali alayhi salam has defined Islam in a better way. And then he says, Al-Islam wa Taslim. Direct Islam is the essence of submission. Ruhe haq pasandi. Essence of submitting yourself towards haq, towards hukum of Allah. If a person has this essence in him, then he always submits. A Muslim is the one who submits to Allah. That's the real definition of Islam. Now obviously, and then we move forward, and wa taslima huwa taslim, wa taslima huwa yaqeen, and wa yaqeena huwa al-ada. Taslim is certifying, and certifying is yaqeen and certitude, and yaqeen is, you know, the performance, wa al-ada wa al-amal, and performance is the action. And then Imam Ali al-Islam says, in the mu'min, akhada deenahu an rabbi. Certainly, a mu'min takes the, in other words, takes his religion from his Lord. وَلَمْ يَأْخُذْهُ بِرَأْيِهِ. And also in another narration, it says, "In the mu'min yara yaqeenahu min amali." Mu'min sees his yaqeen from his action. This is a very important point. In the mu'min yara yaqeenahu min amalihi, wal kafir yara inkarahu fi amali. So see here, we understand in light of this hadith that yaqeen is gained through our amal. You cannot become Ahlul Yaqeen without your amal and actions. A yaqeen is something found in your qalb, but that will be found in your qalb after you practice. So yaqeen is the summer, is the outcome of our actions. Whereas the kufr is something also which is found in the qalb of it. But kufr is also distinguished because of the action. It's the actions that determines the person is a kafir, and it's the actions that determines a person is Ahlul Yaqeen and has the Iman. But actually Iman, in the real sense, in the highest level of Iman, is what coincides with the level of Yaqeen. Because Iman is defined as, you know, Ja'lul Mu'taqad Fil Amr. That means you put your Mu'taqadah, you put your beliefs fil amr, that means in the secure place. If you have put your belief in a secure place, you are called a mu'min. That means no matter what happens in your life, you lose your job, you are fired, you become sick, whatever happens, any kind of turmoils and crises that we face in our life, any kind of troubles and bala that arrives in our life, in all the various situations, our belief is secure. Nothing is going to happen to my belief. I'm not going to start complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to start objecting on Allah and His decision and His qada and qadr. Why Allah is doing this to me? I give so many charities and sadaqah. Why is Allah doing that to me? This shows the person is not a mu'min. This shows that his iman and mu'taqadat are not placed in a secure place. If his iman was in a secure place, that means his aqidah about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is secured no matter what happens to him. So iman is defined so on a person who has his belief and his beliefs secured. So this level, and kafir is also determined in that, wal kafir yara inkarahu fi amalihi. فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا عَرِفُوا أَمْرَهُمْ فَاعْتَبِرُوا إِنْكَارَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَعْمَالِهِمُ الْخَبِيثَةِ. Okay, Rumi alayhi salam says that I swear to the one who has my life in his control that they did not recognize their amal. That means, in other words, these people did not understand the religion. They did not recognize the religion. And so we can discover about the inkar, denial of the kafirin and munafiqin through their evil actions. So the evil actions we discover, a person is a kafir. And when someone asked Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, asked the Rasul alayhi salam, that أَدْنَ مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ مُؤْمِنًا. What's the minimum definition how a person becomes a mu'min? Imam alayhi salam says, بيشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. That a person bears a witness that there is no God worthy of worshipping other than Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. ويقر له بالطاعة. And a person accepts to be obedient towards Allah. Obedient towards Allah's obedience, his obedience. يَعْرِفُ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ. And he has the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time. فَإِذَا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. If he has these things, then he is a mu'min. So look at the difference in definition. And earlier I was defining Islam to you. Islam is defined as someone who bears witness about Tawheed and the messengership of our Holy Prophet, all the prophets and which we call Nubuwatul Amma and Nubuwatul Khassa, is the prophethood of the seed of the messengers, and does not deny any of the Daruriyatul Deen, self-evident rulings of Islam. For example, somebody says, I don't believe in Salat. Salat is a self-evident ruling of Islam. But somebody says, I don't believe in fasting. I don't believe in Hajj. Hajj has nothing to do with Islam. There's nothing as Hajj in Islam. I don't believe in Hijab. There's nothing as Hijab in Islam. If somebody denies one of the Daruriyatul Deen, you know, self-evident rulings, which are so self-evident that even you don't have to be a faqih at Kalami or Mutakallim or a scholar of Ilm al-Kalam
to discover every Muslim being a Muslim understands that much, and even the non-Muslims know that much. So this person will be not considered as a Muslim if he denies. So Islam is this simple, but Iman requires from a person to have yukarru lahu bitta'a. That means he confesses to be obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the role of amal also comes in. When Iman is being defined,
amal is added into the definition. So here, ita'at is there. We have to obey in order to be a mu'min. So there has to be ita'at. يُكَرَّ لَهُ بِالْطَاعَةِ وَيَعْرِفُ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ. Another thing that is added. So remember, the person was asking Imam Salih al-Islam the minimum definition of a mu'min. What it takes to be a mu'min. The minimum, bare minimum thing. So this is what Imam is defining. The bare minimum to maintain your Imam is what we learn from this hadith. وَيَعْرِفُ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ. He has shanah, ma'rifat of the Imam of his time. فَإِذَا فَعْلَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. He performs this, he is a mu'min. Now, يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِيهِ. Imam alayhi salam says in another hadith that appropriate for a mu'min to have, and يَكُونَ فِيهِ ثَمَانُ خِصَالٍ. He has 8 attributes. وَقُورٌ عِنْدَ الْهَزَاهِزِ, صَبُورٌ عِنْدَ الْبَلَاءِ, شَكُورٌ عِنْدَ الرَّخَاءِ, قَانِعٌ بِمَا رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ, لَا يَظْلِمُ الْأَعْدَاءِ, وَلَا يَتَحَامَلْ لِلْأَصْدِقَاءِ. And بدنه منه في تعب والناس منه في راحة. Look at how Imam Salih al-Islam defines the 6 attributes of mu'min. Now, going one by one, وَقُورْ عِنْدَ الْهَزَاهِ. He has وِقَار. He has وِقَار. He is, he shows his nobility and steadfastness in the case when he's facing shada'id and mashakil and hardships in his life. See, hardships are part of the life of this dunya. There are no hardships in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And once we enter and the decision has been made, people in the paradise are not going to face any of the hardships. So this is the place where we face the hardships. But in the event of the hardships, we need to maintain our wiqar and not be derailed from the path. Also, saburun indal bala, when we are in the tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are put to various tests. We will be put, no one exempt. No one has one standard format of life throughout his life. Since the beginning of his buluugh, since the end of his life, there was one standard ahwal and conditions and situations that a person faces. No, never happened. Never happens for nobody. But there are change in situations, there are changes in conditions, and in the changing situations, in the exams and tests that we are facing from Allah, in the varying situations, how did we behave? Did we do the sabr? This is the second attribute of a mu'min. He is sabur indal bala. He exercises sabr. Shakurun indal raqa. See, raqa is a situation when you are happy. They are happy times. You are facing, you don't have troubles, you have money coming in, you have material matiyat, mati blessings of Allah. Material blessings are there. So rifah and abundance of ni'mat is there. in the time when you are happy and you have ni'mat, wufur ni'mah, you have abundance of ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you remember your fariza at that time? Did you take care of the duties you had towards those who are less privileged? You know, try to find the, you need to, and there's so much sawab in Islam to go and pay a visit to the yatim and orphans. Every day that is passing by Islamic Ummah, you find there are increasing number of orphans. Isn't that right? This increases our test. Especially those people who have money more than their necessity. If I have money more than my necessity, this is problematic. Because there's a limited amount of pie. There's not unlimited resources in this world. Whoever grabs and has access to resources of this world more than his necessities is actually treasuring and piling up the rights of others, belonging to others, he is taking in control of him. Is that right? Imam Ali al-Islam, look at how Imam Ali al-Islam says, مَا جَعَ فَقِيرٌ إِلَّا بِمَا مُتْعَ بِهِ غَنِيًّا. No faqir, no poor person goes hungry except because there is some rich person who is living a pleasurable life on his money. His money is being used by some rich who is living a life of pleasures based on the finances that belong to some poor guy out there who is suffering. That's the imbalances that the humans have done because of the attachment towards this segment is not part of that. So what I'm saying is that in the rifah, in asaish, in good times, in happy times, that's where we learn the moment. Our lifestyles don't change. Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, her lifestyle did not change. She was making a lot of money, isn't that right? But you find her lifestyle was the same simple lifestyle. Her money was used up by Islam in the Sha'b of Abi Talib for all those 3 years that they were suffering. So Islam survived because of her money. Prophet's mission survived because of her money. So she was giving away her money to the Prophet. Isn't that right? She was not finding her lifestyle was remaining the same, simple, despite the fact that she had a lot of money. So in the time of Raha and Asaish and Rifah and happy times, we need to have Shukr. So قَانِعٌ بِمَا رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ. See, now the times change. You were happy. Now you had abundance of the ni'mat of Allah. So what if the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away some of the ni'mat from you? Will you behave the same number of du'as that you were reading yesterday, the same number of times of ziyarat of Ashura, the same time of Salatul Layl, Namaz Ishab, the same kind of things that you were doing, will you continue to do the same way when Allah takes away some ni'mat? Let's suppose I lose one of my eyes. Let's suppose I lost one of my hands. Let's suppose I lost one of my feet. Am I supposed to thank Allah in the same way, the way I used to thank when I had all those blessings? This is the test of the human being, that I should be qani'un bima razaqahullah. Whatever Allah has destined, has given you, qada and qadar of Allah, according to the destiny based on the divine wisdom. Whatever Allah gives you, are you ravi and pleased over that? This is called qana'at, that we are pleased. You know, in the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, there was a person who was mafluj, falaj. His parts of the body were under the, you know, stroke, falaj. He could not move his feet, he could not move his hands. Apart from that, he was also having leprosy. So in final stages of baras, what happens is the flesh of a person drops. Flesh of your drops. So your bones become visible. In such a painful situation, And this person was saying, Alhamdulillah, Nabi, all praise belongs to that Allah who has protected me from things from which, مِمَّا اِبْتَلَى بِهِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ, protected me from things that he has afflicted on a lot of people. That means a lot of people don't have that ni'mat that Allah has given to me. Hazrat Isa, when he saw him saying this statement and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ أَرَاهُ مَصْرُوفًا عَنْكَ, what kind of bala do I see is not there with you? You have every type kind of bala, in other words. And he replied that all the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provided me with his ma'rifat. He did not provide to most of them. And then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam heard this remark, he said, give me your hand. And he gave the hand, he extended the hand to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. He used to give shifa to Ibn al-Bah, right? So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam gave him shifa to Ibn al-Bah, and he was cured from all of his diseases, and he became part of the Hawariyin and disciples of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So this is about the ma'rifat of a person, that he has to be, need to be qani', qana'at about whatever Allah has destined in this risk for us, not to be freaking out, I got this, I don't get this, why did I get this? You are trying to say, this statement translates, or why is it happening to me? This statement translates into the fact that I don't trust the divine absolute wisdom. Isn't it right? Because why would Allah go for something which is against his wisdom? He would never do that. He would always do something that is based on his absolute wisdom. La yazlimul a'da. The next attribute of a mu'min, he never does zulm over the enemies. Now obviously when a mu'min never does zulm over the enemies, he would never do zulm over his own people. Isn't that right? Or his own self. Zulm is of three types. Isn't that right? Zulm you do towards the humans, zulm you do towards your own self, zulm you do towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three types of zulm. Zulm towards Allah means kufr and shirk. Isn't that right? Zulm towards our own nafs means the sin, sinning. Ma'siyat towards Allah is zulm on the nafs. And zulm towards the people is very obvious. Everybody knows what it means. So, a mu'min never does zulm towards, any of these kind types of zulm. He is not going to do zulm towards his fellow mu'min brothers and sisters, his relatives, his family members, his own self. When he is not going to do zulm towards the enemies, that is out of question to do zulm over his own people and the mu'mineen and mu'minat. Al-zulmu zulmatun yawm al-qiyamah. Didn't Imam Ali Hassan say? Al-zulm is zulmat. Darkness is up there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a bridge. And no one can cross over that bridge if somebody has a zulm on his neck. If someone did any zulm towards anyone that's in his neck, this bridge can never be crossed. You can never cross that bridge. So that bridge is called Nafsah. The bridge where any zalim who has done any zulm over anyone cannot cross over that bridge, that is called the sar on the day of judgment. So, mu'min doesn't have zulm over the enemies. وَلَا يَتَحَامَلْ لِلَّاسْتِقَاءِ. لَا يَتَحَامَلْ means, that means he's not going to put his own haml, his own burden, his own responsibilities, dump it on others. I'm running away from my fariza, my duties, my burdens, my responsibilities. I leave it on the others to do it and handle it. So I want to escape from my own burdens and responsibilities. That's not how a mu'min behaves. وَلَا يَتَحَامَلْ لِلْأَصْدِقَاءِ. He doesn't put his own burden and responsibilities over his friends. So we need to take care of our own duties. So whenever we have a conflict with somebody, brothers and sisters, what we need to think and focus is that, is there any zulm coming on my neck? Is there anything that I am becoming mas'ool and liable before Allah? This is how we should think. And seventh of all, badanuhu minhu, the ta'ab, his body from him is in hardship. And he is getting exhausted. He's doing so much work for the sake of Allah that his body is tired. So a mu'min's body is tired and fed up from him, because he's so much active doing ibadat of Allah and worships and service and khidmat towards Allah using his body. His body is tired of himself. وَالنَّاسُ مِنْهُ فِي رَاحَةٍ. But the people, and the people are in comfort. His own body is tired from his own self, because he's using his body so much for the khidmat and service of Allah. But people are in comfort from him, so no one gets any harm from him. His harms are secure. His benefits are guaranteed. He provides benefits to others at the cost of, making his own body tired, but he never provides any harm to anyone. Inna al-ilma khaleel al-mu'min. Ilm is the, we were talking about the sifat and attributes, isn't it right? Ilm is the khaleel, is the friend of a mu'min. Wal-hilm waziruhu, and hilm and burdbari, what in Farsi we say, burdbari and hilm. That's the wazir and advisor of a mu'min. So when before making a decision, the ilm and hilm are the best companions. They all just go together. They are supposed to go together. Ilm, it becomes muzayyan. Ilm is decorated with the hilm, and hilm becomes correct with the knowledge. So whenever you make a decision, it is based on your ilm and hilm. So hilm is going to provide you the right advice before you step and do something. So wal hilmu waziruhu, wal aqlu amiru junudihi. And the aql of a mu'min is the commander of his army. So everything, my hand is part of, is my soldier. My feet are part of my junud, my soldiers. I do things, I take, utilize and perform services through my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my hand, my feet. I utilize them to do services for myself. Isn't it right? These are my soldiers. This is my army. Isn't that right? So my junud, my army people are under the command. What is the commander? Aql. Intellect. My intellect is commanding the army of the mu'min. وَالْرِفْقُ أَخُوهُ. And softness is the brother of a mu'min. So we always be with our brother. Isn't it right? When you are with brothers, with somebody, you always stick with me. أَبْتَ الرَّحِمِ is haram, breaking away from the relatives, and your brother is haram. صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ is wajib. You always be with your brother. Isn't it right? You always care about your brother. You always love your brother. So we always never leave the softness and becoming and being soft and merciful towards our own soul first. Well, birru walidu. Good deeds are his father. So that's how our good deeds. We are keen and eager towards performing all the good deeds that we have. Inshallah, in the continuation of that, I actually had written down a lot, but obviously the time is short. That we are going to talk about how the iman of a person has been distributed in the light of the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and Salam. Iman is muqassam and divided on various parts of the human body. Iman is divided, and what share of Iman falls in the favor of which part of the body. So every part of the human body has a qism and share of Iman. And we will inshallah discuss how the Iman is divided into various parts. Wassallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala al-Fatiha.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيما ولي الفقير قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم ارفع عن الفقراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه تجاه الحق.